Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We are back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Text in your questions that you want to be asked about this season to the likes of Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones. That conversation of, hey man, we need to ask these questions and really dissect what we can do better for this team. Because Kevin, I'm looking at the playoff slate and I'm like, man, this is a really fun slate of playoff games. I really do like this first round of matchups, the rest of the matchups we're going to see.
Except for the Steelers.
I don't see the Cowboys in there. Well, that's actually not a game that I hate. I like Baltimore and Pittsburgh. That's a fun combination there. But the Cowboys aren't involved in any way. What can they do to fix this thing? And Kevin, my first question right now, because I feel like this is the most prevalent question to everybody's mind, is what is the best thing coaching-wise for this organization moving forward? And in my humble opinion, it is not changing coaches. And it's not because what other coach you're going to find out there. If that's somebody's answer, they're GMing scared. And you know how I say this.
Yeah.
Don't GM scared. If you're going to be a GM, you make some bold moves. Hell, look what Brad Holmes did. Hey, we're going to draft Jahmyr Gibbs. Everybody was like, you fool. You're going to be gone soon. Guess what? Here he is. And they're looking really good right now. But I'm not moving on from head coach Mike McCarthy. Here's why. I think his philosophy on football is right. I think the way he sees football is correct. I think the play calling needs to be updated, if you will. So I'm not asking, get me a different offensive coordinator if you can, but I don't think that I'm ready to move on from that guy. The other thing though is, coaching-wise, I'm probably losing my defensive coordinator. It didn't sound like he really was like, I'm ready to be here again next year. It sounded more like he was, hey, I'm ready to go ahead and move on to greener pastures here, or maybe just ride off into the sunset, as Micah Parsons said. And if that's the case, I got to now come up with a new defensive plan, a new defensive scheme, and go through the pain that I went through at the beginning of this year again? Or do I just say, Al Harris, it's your time? I don't know, but in my opinion, what is the best thing coaching-wise for this organization moving forward? Keep the head coach, add new staff around him.
So outside of the obvious, hey, is that cheerleader still okay? I would ask, hey, did you really not know about the Cooper Rush incentive? Follow-up. Will you give him the money anyway? Follow up, what did you learn from just seeing one start of Trey Lance? Because I know people think they didn't play Cooper Rush because they wanted to cheap out on it. I don't know. I can't dispute that.
Yeah, I don't have facts on that.
But if they're like, hey, we're still going to give him the money anyway, then I feel like that kind of kills that narrative. But I also don't think you learn so much from watching a quarterback start one game.
Do you feel like you are going to see a major personnel shakeup on this team?
No.
Or you're going to see another round of spending cheaply on the free agent pool just to fill holes and drafting and developing.
I think it's going to be that one. And
because they have, again, Overshown and Diggs, you might have to fill that and deal with that.
So I heard Steven Friday with G-Bag. That was an excellent interview, very insightful. The way he breaks down the cap, what I think compared to him doesn't matter because he gets to make the decisions. Absolutely. And help write the checks. But I just don't think it's consistent with what you can actually do. Because one of the things that he talked about is like, oh, you got to push money down the road and like, you can't afford to do this. We couldn't afford to do whatever, blah, 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 blah. All right. If I told you that you could have a running back as good as Derrick Henry next year for $5.1 million, would you do it?
Sure. Why wouldn't I do that?
Exactly.
That's a great price for a fantastic running back.
Now, if I told you that you could get a running back as good as Saquon Barkley for $3.8 million.
Deal.
Okay.
And now I don't have to use that draft pick to replace that production.
And now...
Unless I want to draft a guy that's the future running
true. Back. True. I understand both of these were kind of viewed as maybe to some people sort of risky. And now on the other side of it, you can be like, oh, yeah, good job.
Mm-hmm.
But that's...
Somebody did text in Kevin earlier and they said, I'd do it, I think, 19 times I would say no to this. And I might be wrong with that one time, but every other time I'm going to be right about it.
And so that's the issue I have with the way the Cowboys describe, oh, we don't have any money. We don't have the... That was the cap hit for Derrick Henry this year,
yep.
$5.1
million. Mm-hmm.
That was the cap hit for Saquon Barkley this year, $3.8 million. And if people are like, yeah, but what about after that? All right, let's...
Because that was my question, Kevin. A lot of times when we have discussions, it does work into a year. And I wonder, does Steven's models or his eight-year increments or his, you know, and Kevin, this is nothing against... I think you think in a great way when it comes to budgeting. I just have not ever asked you this question. When you're budgeting, are you thinking in 8-year increments? Or because he's told you 5 years, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking in those long-term increments.
Okay.
Because let's deal with the fallout of that deal. All right. Let's say Derrick Henry didn't work out and you wanted to cut him. How screwed are you? $4 million more in dead money, which you can split up over 2 years because the Cowboys love to do that. You're giving more money, dead money, to Michael Gallup. You gave more dead money split to Zeke. All right, let's go to Saquon Barkley. His cap hit next year, $6.3 million. Think about that. So they got 2 years of Saquon Barkley this year and next year for $10 million.
Mm.
Now, I realize the issue that comes up with that is on the other side. Let's say he's done after that. What's your dead cap hit? $16.6 million, which again, that's what the Cowboys break up. That's not too much different than what you did with Zeke.
How many of those types of contracts are you willing to do per year in that 5-year window? And I'm asking this as a, give yourself a, I know I can hit and miss on so many. And if I miss on all of them, then I'm going to have a significant number to deal with. But if I, let's say I have five and I hit on three of them, then those two, I'm not that worried about.
Exactly. And that's why I think five is a good number. Because let's say you busted on both of those contracts. Well, your dead money coming up in a year for one would be $4 million and for the other $16 million, which again, the Cowboys love to post-date that release and split up the money. The other thing about that is by the time that money comes due, you can do that with a whole new set of players.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe your draft picks are working out or whatever the case is. Like, we've talked about this.
Right now, it seems like CeeDee Lamb, Dak, and Micah are those three of those five guys. Trayvon already got his.
And Trayvon Diggs is a great example. I'm not saying that I advocate this whatsoever. I'm going to double check some of the figures here. But you can move away from that Trayvon Diggs deal now if you want. So again, I'm not saying that that would happen, but your dead cap hit on him is $12.7 million. This is the way that people love to do this. All right. So you split it up by two because the Cowboys will post June 1st it. So let's say that's 6.4 per year. This year, upcoming year, Trayvon Diggs is scheduled to make $14.2 million. And that's where this is tough. Would you take, and I realize he's injured and coming back, so this is a theoretical. Would you take Trayvon Diggs off your team for $7.8 million in cap space?
Probably not.
Okay.
Because I think he's a valuable position.
And that's fine. And that's fine. But that's how you answer those questions.
And there are a lot of people out there that are like, yes, because I have Deron Bland and he's my number one. I like having a number one that's Diggs and a number one B that's Bland.
And I'm totally, totally fine with that. I just think that maybe it feels like, just to me, the Cowboys do not do a good job of line by lining this.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I feel like happens is, well, would you want to cut Trayvon Diggs? Are you insane? Trayvon Diggs is Trayvon Diggs. Next, instead of going, hey, we get $7.8 million in usable cap space this year if you were to move on for him. I'm just using him as my flashpoint example.
And then the other part is, how much work is it to replace him? How much work is it to negotiate another deal with somebody else? And do I even want to do that part of it? And a lot of times I feel like the Cowboys are in a situation where like it's just easier for us to draft and not have to negotiate with people, because when we negotiate, we usually just end up screwing ourselves.
And one of the things that Stephen Jones told us, this was earlier, I think it was this year, maybe if not, it was last season, that they try to project out the salary cap for the next like 3 to 5 years. And they know the metric by which the NFL determines this because they can look at all the freaking data. So they're like, hey, I saw this, I saw this, I saw this. Salary cap should be about this. So people are asking about the increase in salary cap. They have a good idea of projecting that as well.
Yeah. Question number two from me.
Okay.
How soon would you like the coaching decision to be made? And I'm not answering it as Stephen. And you know what? Honestly, here, let's play this game. I asked that question to Steven. I asked that question to Jerry. Am I getting the same answer?
No.
You're getting from Steven probably, let's go ahead and get this done now. And Jerry's like, when can I get a headline? When is it going to be a downtime for me to get a headline? No matter how much it might cost me or that it might cost me my head coach, I just got to see how I can navigate this so I can get the biggest pop.
And that's why I would try to put some pressure on him and say, coming up in 8 days, you no longer have a coach under contract. And that's when he says, it doesn't even have to be a question.
I have no urgency when it comes to that. And then he throws out the line of, I want people that want to be here. And you're like, oh,
okay.
That's frustrating because the guy's already said he wants to be here. Well, he didn't. What did you show him? How much do you want him here?
And this is, I'll concede this point. I don't know if this is all real in the room or in the facility versus how much of this is, you know,
being just played
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Yeah. I get it. At least some of it's just BS. Jerry has told us that. Like, legitimately told us in the tent last year at training camp.
Last year, do you know how to BS?
Exactly. And I love the circus. And like that was with us. But when you say there's no urgency, that's a terrible thing to say. And that's why I think we don't win. Because let's take a look at that. Let's take that, Mike McCarthy and Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons was asked this morning, do you want to stay with the Cowboys? And he said, I called upon the star. I landed on it. I'm grateful. I feel like I got one of the best jobs in America. All right. Obviously, you can give him an extension this offseason or last offseason. He said, I don't want to hold anybody up. I want to see some of these free agents back in this locker room. We have a great opportunity. I want to see change. I want to see players here. I want to be as aggressive as we can be.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to,
bye, bye, bye.
In a bear market, or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, so the sooner you decide who your head coach is going to be, who your defensive coordinator is going to be, it has that trickle-down effect. Maybe you're not going to get rid of Micah Parsons either way, but when players, when coaches are like, hey, I want to get this done now, you can hardcore negotiate with them now if you want.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. And Mike is saying all the right things right now.
And behind the scenes, that's another thing. He could be like, if you don't give me $40 million, F you guys.
It seems
I'm
like,
not saying
it
that.
It seems like when, you know, he's saying, I want players on this team.
Yep.
And I don't know his negotiation. He's probably really doing the thing that everybody says and letting people do the backside of it.
Sure.
But he's like, but I also know how to play this media game. Sure. Let's have some fun with that and get some fans on my side at the same time. But I also feel like Micah doesn't say things just because. I think he says things that he really is. He wants to, hey, get some players in here I can win with. It does sound like he's having more of a, I'm ready to be a leader. I unlocked a little something in myself that I didn't know about. And Bobby was talking about it this morning. You probably saw it a little more. He learned how to play within a system rather than being a free baller out there.
Huh.
Freelancer.
And he did say getting, I can't remember if he said 30 or 35 million. Sounds a lot better than getting 40 million and being double teamed every single time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. From the 945, these are questions that people would like to ask Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones. Would Derrick Henry have made a difference beyond this year? And quite honestly, for most of the season, I would have said no. Then I saw what Rico Dowdle did when the offensive line finally got their S together. And Derrick Henry absolutely would have made that much of a difference for this team. He now, would it have gotten the championship? I don't know. But it would have put Dak in a position where Dak didn't have to be the one out there running all over the place, getting himself injured. And that's something that they missed out on. But Jerry Jones even told us, we paid Dak all that money, mostly because we were screwed and we got out leveraged. But we paid him because now more falls on his plate.
And by the way, that was another thing going back to the interview on Friday. Steven was preparing people for, he's like, hey, we still baked in that last $40 million that we hadn't given Dak yet with this deal. So remember, Dak's new deal hasn't even started yet. It starts next year, and his cap hit is $89 million.
Ooh.
And I know they're going to flip the switch, but just remember, that's what you did last time. And that's why you ended up with $40 million still due at the end of the deal.
From the 817, they said, do you think that Jerry would money whip Zimmer to keep some defensive consistency? Zimmer might be a situation where maybe the money isn't the thing. Maybe it's just more about, do I really want to keep doing this? He felt the need to do it this year. Is he really that invested in it? Was it a buffer year like Mayo was for the Patriots?
Okay, this might be too much, but why does Jerry need to money whip somebody when he doesn't care about having their title? Doesn't he money whip the people that he needs to stay while still keeping their titles?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, and I know, you know,
he doesn't want to be the defensive coordinator.
Broadus has said this plenty of times, too. If you make it seem like somebody else wants you, Jerry's more likely to want to keep you around. And that could be a situation where maybe that is where Zimmer is. He's just like, I don't need this necessarily. Somebody else came calling. Maybe it's a little bit of leverage I can work with. Coming up next, let's go around the NFC East. Some impressive marks. One really depressing record set on the final day of the regular season. Next on The Fan.
And Mariota with a play fake. Half roll to the right. Throws it out to Ertz. Touchdown, Commanders.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. That is Brad Sham. Is that the last time we'll hear him call on Cowboys game this season? Yes, Kevin. The answer is yes. Because there will... The Cowboys are not playing anymore this season.
But we could play another clip tomorrow.
Oh, you know what? You got a very good point about that. I was just talking about him calling the game. It's now time to go around the entire NFC East and rumble through the East.
always choose your own adventure here. Do you want to go with the Eagles, Commanders, Cowboys, or the Giants?
I say we start with the Eagles because they are first place. Kevin, the Eagles' third string quarterback, Tanner McKee.
He looked good yesterday.
Did he? Or was it the Giants?
That's
fair. How often do you go, do you look at a score or you look at something and you just go, who were they playing though?
That's a fair point.
269 yards, 27 of 41, two touchdowns, no picks. Are you taking him and signing him into a Matt Flynn contract? I feel like that's the plan now.
You don't mean Jerry Flynn?
Jerry Flynn.
What I believe I tried to push earlier. Look him up, kids.
I had the red zone on, but anytime Eagles popped up, I just moved on. Like, I just immediately didn't even care because...
You knew they were already set.
They're already set. I really wasn't going to gain much from that game. And Tanner McKee, who I guess, I mean, he's the new guy.
No, he's their third string.
You see those numbers, Kevin? Almost 270 yards. He was 1 yard away. Two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many touchdowns Trey Lance threw yesterday?
How many?
Zero.
Zero. Do you know how many interceptions that Tanner McKee threw? Zero. You know how many interceptions Trey Lance threw yesterday? Zero.
What?
I'm hearing we give up a 2027 fourth round pick for him. That's what I'm hearing.
Maybe third.
Sign me up.
Right now, you take Trey Lance or Tanner McKee?
Tanner McKee, the numbers tell me what I need to know. That being said, the Giants are a bad football team. B, even the depth for the Eagles is better. You know, like, that's another factor that rolls into this is the depth for the Eagles is pretty good.
Are you excited? I know you said good playoff slate. Green Bay, Philly, you get the rematch from Brazil.
It
was from Brazil.
I totally forgot they played a game in Brazil this year.
It's a really entertaining game, too.
I like this matchup. I am a little concerned again about Jordan Love's health, and I feel like that's been a thing all season long as Malik Willis was, you know, running around on the sidelines. What do I do? And then now that Christian Watson, it looks like, did we see torn ACL? I want to make sure of that. But Christian,
it was ACL.
ACL, okay. So we see that. So that's another, they've had so many struggles at the wide receiver position. They have so many talented receivers in Green Bay, but they just all seem to either get hurt or not want to go out there and play. I am excited about that matchup between those two, though, because I think they're two teams that match up well. I think it's going to be an Eagles win, and they're going to be in the next round.
Since the Eagles beat down the Giants, do you want to knock out the Giants next?
Yeah,
I know that's out of order.
Yeah, let's go ahead and punch out the Giants.
This is a depressing statistic if you're a Giants fan, or maybe you love it because you're against the Giants. That was their 14th loss for the season. That sets a franchise record for the worst ever New York Giants season.
You had your worst ever season in the history of your team.
Correct.
And you still didn't land the number one overall pick. You kind of do need a quarterback. Tennessee kind of needs a quarterback. Cleveland kind of needs a quarterback. And now,
supposedly that quarterback wanted you.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, this is, you were that bad and still not bad enough to get the number one overall seed because you tried really hard in another game.
The game before, right?
Yeah, and everybody freaked out and lost their minds about that. So, well, hold on. Actually, they were on a one game losing streak. So,
they lost a ton.
It was Tennessee and Cleveland that had lost six straight. So, that stinks to have, as a four fan base, to have to go through a season like that and still be like, and what direction do we have? Like, how are we going to get any better? What is the vision here? That's what freaking Myles Garrett's feeling right now, too, right? I know this is around the NFC East, but he's got to be feeling that way for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. How impressed did you end up for the season with Malik Nabers, who rewrote several records?
That touchdown that he had yesterday was sensational. And I think that everything, you know, I read my notes on him, and I know a lot of people were like, Rome Odunze is the next one. After Marvin Harrison Jr., I was thinking to myself, man, Neighbors might be the first one. There was nothing about Marvin Harrison Jr. that suggested he shouldn't be the number one wide receiver picked. Malik Nabers had everything that I wanted. The qualities of speed, quickness. He has this this cachet about him. Like, there's this personality that comes along with it. That's a dude that I mean, what an awesome rookie year for him. But you said, did he have the record?
So, he set the Giants record for most catches
gotcha,
in the season.
Gotcha.
So, like, he can look at it and be like, hey, this might be the most losses we've ever had, but I had the most catches.
Yeah, Leon can't do everything.
And for a minute, how many people still know that reference?
If you remember Leon can't do everything, text in right now what commercial that was for.
He briefly held the rookie record for the most catches, but then he got surpassed by Brock Bowers.
Okay, so gotcha.
He only had the second most catches.
Man, what a year for Brock Bowers, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. And so, second most ever, Brock Bowers passed him, but most catches in Giants history for a single season as well.
Impressive. We sticking with the Giants here?
Done with them.
You're done with the
they
Giants?
Suck.
That was a team that's terrible. I think we should go on to the Commanders then.
They're better.
They made the playoffs. You were kind of, when we were talking with Mickey last week, every question that we asked was followed up with, but how much are they going to care? You know, that's what Mickey would reply back is like, tell me how much they're going to care and I can give you an answer to this. And it seemed like they kind of cared in the first half. And then after that, they were like, hold on.
Okay.
Maybe we still need to care, just not with our starters.
Hold on. That's a great point. Because I was going to say, did they care? Or if we can go to cut number six, did this specific gentleman care a lot?
Fourth and one. Snap is back. They hand it off. No, he kept it and ran through the middle on a quarterback draw to the 20 and all the way down to the 15. What a great ball fake by Mariota. They faked it to the back who got stuffed, but Mariota kept the ball.
It felt like he cared a lot.
Yeah, it did feel like he cared.
The rest of the team? I mean, you know what? The other person who cared, Jaden Daniels, looked freaking hyped for everything that was going right for them.
Dude, the touchdown for Terry McLaurin to become the greatest Washington receiver.
That's just the most touchdown catches in a season.
Yeah.
So no one gets angry.
For the Washington Commanders. Yeah, that is, like, that's really cool for him. You know how much I really think of highly of Terry McLaurin. He's been one of those guys that I've championed for his entire career. Yeah, but he doesn't have a quarterback. And this year you put him with a quarterback and look what happens. He's also very motivated to show that too, because he's been kind of living in that, it's been terrible around here, guys. I'm ready to go ahead and turn this thing up a little bit. And they did there as well. And then, you know, being in Cliff Kingsbury's offense, that really helped open things up for him. He didn't necessarily become the, hey, throw me the ball 15 times guy, but it was always, whenever I make a play, it's going to be big. It's going to make an impact on the game. And I think that lived up for him. So congratulations to Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels for what I think is a phenomenal season.
Also, congratulations to the Rangers for getting money for a player that they DFA'd. So Owen White got sent to the Reds for cash. And
how much cash?
Ooh, that I don't know.
I always want to know the answer to that question, because how much of a difference does that make?
$32,000.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that they are using it this year for something specific, but they at least have those funds from a player that they weren't really going to use. Like, they weren't using him.
And the other thing for the going back to the Commanders, a couple big things for them. Jaden Daniels, only player in NFL history with 3,500 plus passing yards, 850 plus rushing yards, and 5 plus rushing touchdowns, which is impressive. I will say Lamar Jackson surpassed those first two numbers, but only had 4 rushing touchdowns. So technically he's not in this, but we talked about this with the Lions earlier. The last time, they led the league in scoring differential. They won the 1952 championship. The last time the Commanders had 12 regular season wins, 1991 or more. 1991, won 14 games, and then won the Super Bowl.
Okay. All right. So you're saying here We're going to see Washington and Detroit in the Super Bowl this year.
That feels impossible.
I know that feels impossible.
Something's got to give.
Yeah.
Right?
What will give? History or future?
Would you root for the for the Commanders to win the Super Bowl?
No.
Because the last time they won the Super Bowl, Cowboys won three of the next four.
Well, here's the thing. What are you doing?
Three of the
reverse psychology, man.
That's not how this works.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
You just tried to put two NFC teams in the Super Bowl. I'm going to say that this is going to work mathematically.
Okay, I'm not going to root for Washington. Okay, I'm just not going to do it. It's against every fiber of what I've known in my history of being a fan. I just can't do that. And there's no dislikable team on the AFC side. I'm pretty much rooting for all those teams.
I think there's a decent amount of people who think the Chiefs are unlikable.
That's fine. They can feel that way. I'm still pretty happy with what they are. That is not a team I'm going to root against when it comes to rooting for Washington or against them. So, no.
And for people asking, am I in pain talking like this? Answer, a little bit.
Oh, man. Hey, if you need to stop talking.
I got my chicken noodles.
You do have your chicken. It's not double noodle. But it is.
I didn't even know that existed until earlier today.
Let's see if I can find some double noodle for you down the road.
Please.
And then let's go ahead and dive into the Cowboys just a little bit here.
Did we win?
We did not win.
Are you sure? Cut number seven. They were winning right until the end of the game. I just want to make sure you're sure about this.
Looking into the end zone, there's the fade to McLaurin, and he's got it easily. Touchdown, Washington. Just a perfect throw by Mariota over the top of Deron Bland for the Washington touchdown with 2 seconds left.
Well, you're a guy.
Now you have the proof. And thank you, Kevin, for pointing out the proof, because otherwise maybe I would have believed we won.
Man, the disinterest level on that game was so high. I wonder how many people who are like usually pretty big Cowboys fans are like, I didn't know who won until last night or maybe even this morning.
My wife, as the game ended and I was doing laundry or whatever, she was like, hey, did the Cowboys win? I said, no. And she was like, oh, are you sad? I was like,
not really.
Huh? Why would I be sad? And she said, well, you know, because I was like, babe, the season's been over for a while.
True.
I mean, Kevin was telling me almost 7 weeks ago.
And was I right?
Cowboys season. Well, I mean, eventually you were like You really hedged your bets on that one. Like, eventually you were going to be right.
I said they weren't going to make the playoffs.
But their season's over. And why would we be excited? Like, why would we get excited or worked up about that game? I was watching the game for the interest of I'm watching the Cowboys for the last time this year. That was pretty much it. But I did, you know, wind up having it all. The Bears have requested to speak with Giants offensive coordinator Mike Kafka for their vacant offensive coordinator job. And that's weird. Because don't they have a vacant head coaching job still? Yeah. And so now they're like, let's go shop for the offensive coordinator first.
Hey, that's what the Cowboys would do.
From the 940. So sounds like Corey's trying to tell me how to fan. You know what?
It's a good point.
You're right. You fan the way that you want to. Mm-hmm. You fan the way. I'm not going to try and tell you how to fan. I'm just saying I will not be rooting for the Commanders if they were to make it to the Super Bowl.
It's okay to be wrong.
Yeah, I'm perfectly okay with that. Did you have anything? Oh, did you want to dive in on some of the Cowboys here, Kevin?
Yeah, but I also wanted to ask, but what if you knew that means the Cowboys would win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years?
Then, but you're not saying that if I don't root for them, that they won't win.
Correct.
Still won't do it then.
What?
Because then I would sit there, Kevin, what if they made it to the Super Bowl and I didn't? You know, and then I get the Super Bowl. I never had to root for them.
Well, all you had to do is root for them in one freaking game or one freaking playoff run, and you get a guaranteed Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I can also might get a Super Bowl without having to do that, without having to sacrifice my fandom.
What in the last 29 years leads you to believe that?
2.5 sacks. Micah Parsons finished 2024 with 12 sacks. He joined Reggie White as the only two players since 1982 with at least 12 sacks in each of their 4 seasons. Congratulations to him. And then Donovan Wilson tallied a sack, finished with 4.5 sacks in 2024, which is what you always want, is your safety to have a bunch of sacks.
Okay. And so, like, so he was second in the league behind Derwin James, which, again, it's like having the most wins for a wild card team. Like, is that a record you or a mark you really want?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah. And then, this was... Ultimately, this season will go down as one of those. I keep saying forget about it, and I know everybody else is like, but you need to build off of it. I heard Mickey say that earlier. You need to learn from it. That's fine. They need to learn from it. I don't ever want to remember that this season happened.
Oh.
Or I just want to point back at this season and be like, that was the terrible one.
Okay, don't listen to this next part then, because I have other positives from the season. Hey, Alec, I don't know if you wanted to know this. Corey does not. Rico Dowdle, 1,079 yards, most yards rushing by Cowboys running back in 5 years.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty,
pretty good.
Good.
I like that.
But,
yeah.
you need more?
Yeah, I think I need a little more.
Okay,
okay. A little more.
Cowboys had 6 sacks against the Commanders. It was their league-leading fourth game with 6 sacks or more in 2024. Don't worry about how many of those happened when they still probably could have made the playoffs. Yeah. Don't worry about that. Is that good enough? You need more?
Yeah. I mean, with those kind of numbers, you think that you're winning a lot of football games and you're holding your opponents to very low amounts of points.
And you're great on special teams. Cowboys, 32.1 yards per kickoff return. That is a single season NFL record. And you finished 4 games out of the playoffs. Make no mistake. Look at the standings. 4 games out of the playoffs.
Well, do you think that means you hadn't been so injured, you would have made the playoffs?
Yeah, look, we don't always have to agree. And I just disagreed that with Mickey this morning that if Dak was healthy, this team was making the playoffs. I don't see that whatsoever.
It would have taken I don't think it was just Dak. I think there were a lot of other things factored in there.
That's fine. But then you can point to the Detroit Lions and you're like, hey, well, we did pretty good.
And it would have taken a as Razor says, a Mastodonian effort to go ahead and make that turn around the way they wanted to. But it would have been awesome if they could have done that, but they weren't going to.
Man, if that double noodle soup really does exist, that's going to be amazing.
I'm telling you, I'll find it for you. Right now, though, it is time for AM on the FM.
You know what's really convenient is my computer just froze.
You're
so
kidding me.
While
right now.
I set this up to
Kevin
play.
Kevin Walker, you're okay.
He can live now. He can breathe. The question of the day is coming your way here in just a second, plus a follow-up from J.J. Redick to Charles Barkley after this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, 0 for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it, especially because I'm pushing the button now.
I make
the
decisions.
That soup. Yeah, I make the decisions. You push the button to order that soup. That's what you need to do.
Okay.
Because we need you here. But my co-host Corey is here, you know, so we can still carry on this segment. It is the people segment, as I've dubbed it, in your absence, Kevin. I know you haven't been on the radio since last year, but that's what we came up with last year. So we're going to run with that now. 877-881-1053, the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. Want you to answer the question of the day there. Plus, we're going to get to some fun college football nuggets where, you know, one man's trash is really another man's treasure. We're going to get to that here in just a second as well. But we go to my favorite resource, my favorite asset, the National Day Calendar. And we see that there's actually a lot of good options to choose from today. But we're going to go with National Technology Day.
Oh, I love National technology.
National Technology Day is what today is, among many other things.
Hold on 1 second, Alec. I appreciate where you're heading with this. Mm-hmm. I just said I love technology.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin said, eh.
I'm a slow adopter of technology.
You're very conservative in that approach.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, people make fun of, like, oh, obviously you got to get a new phone. I'm like, why? This phone works.
But whenever, like, you go from having a rotary phone to a cell phone.
Hey, look.
You didn't carry a rotary phone around in 2010, did you?
It's a great advancement, but my family will also tell you, they actively make fun of me within the last 2 years. Okay, people? 2 years. I told them that there were headphones that you could get that didn't need a wire to listen to your phone at the gym. That was within the last 2 years, I swear. So I'm not an early adopter or even a decade close adopter of new technology.
All right. So back to you with technology talk.
I think I got my first pair of wireless earbuds when I was like freshman in high school.
Yes. Well, that could have been 4 years.
They're necessary.
That was actually like 7. Thank you. I don't know the math on that. What was that? Like 2016, I think. Yeah.
Like 4 years ago.
Yeah. Thanks, man. So the question of the day is going to be outside of your cell phone, because that is the easy cop-out answer. What is your favorite piece of technology right now?
Ooh, this is...
It's not going to surprise you to know it's the wireless earbuds.
It's a full circle moment.
You can go to the gym and just like pop them in.
Yeah.
And watch whatever's going on your phone.
It's great, isn't it, Kevin?
It's amazing.
My kid still wants the wired in version, and I got him.
No.
Santa got him the wireless ones for Christmas. And he looked at him and he was like, oh. And I was like, what are you dying for? And he goes, well, I guess my earbuds won't get ripped out of my ears whenever I'm on the bench press anymore. So
that's
I guess
right.
That's what they're good for. And I was like, they're better than I refuse to get AirPods. I think AirPods are a ripoff. He says, and the kids are like, no, they're not a ripoff. I'm like, I have a fantastic pair of earbuds that I got for $30.
Your son needs to take a seminar from my mom. Because when I was a kid, we would practice opening gifts. And you had to imagine it was the worst gift in the world. So she would be like, now, pretend you just opened this box of rocks. And so we weren't done with the exercise until you like sold it to her that you were digging this box of rocks. So
I think it was 8 years old whenever I got something and looked at my aunt and said, thank you. I mean, I already have one of these, but thank you. And that's when I learned, hey, that's not how we do that.
Don't do that.
And I was like, I had never gotten a double gift before. How was I supposed to know that a double gift, like you're not supposed to let them know that you already have one.
All right, as long as we're talking about gifting, just real quick. I know this is not in the technology realm. Several years ago, I was informed that the way I distributed gift ideas was not appreciated.
Oh.
Because I would distribute Brandon's gift ideas and assign people what I thought that they should get him. Because I know what the budget is for all of these people.
That's fair.
And I was told it was sucking the fun out of gift giving, which I get, I guess. But the very first time at the same sitting, he got two of the same gift. I was like, and that's why.
See, if y'all would have let me be me, then we wouldn't have two of these in the same sitting.
I don't know why Kevin's practice gifting made me think of that Vine from probably like 2015 now, probably 10 years old at this point. The little kid, he unwraps the gift as an avocado. Like an avocado. Thanks.
Exactly.
I'm seeing a lot coming in early. A lot of Xbox texts. Like numerous people, right when I ask the question, come in with the Xbox.
Specifically Xbox.
Yeah, the Series X is what the 817 specifically said. So the newest one, I'm assuming. I'm not an Xbox guy. I'm a PlayStation guy. PlayStation and PC, it's where I get my gaming in. So I wouldn't know. But that's probably been me here recently. I built a PC a couple months ago.
Nice.
And because I was running off a laptop that I bought during the pandemic, and I put that thing through hell. Like I've asked it to edit so many videos, audio, stuff like that, recording podcasts, whatnot, and then gaming on top of that. It was on its last legs. I finally just broke down, went to Newegg and built a PC on their PC builder, and then ordered all the parts, got them in on the same day. It was amazing. And then my dad and I built it together. So a little bonding experience.
That's
plus,
nice.
You know, it's a machine too. Like it's a workhorse. I've been gaming on it, been editing audio and doing some stuff on my own for some future projects and whatnot. You know, it can handle anything I ask it to. So it's been my biggest prized possession lately, just because I've been like bound to the limits and constraints of a laptop for years now.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've got like the iPad and the PC, so like I can choose, do I want to be in the comfort of my bed or on the couch being productive, or do I want to sit at the desk and use the workhorse? There you go. So that's been really fun. Why are you looking at me like that?
Kinda? I just like the way you just said that.
I don't like the way you looked at me. That must mean it was something crazy. So I'm not going to go back and listen to this segment anymore. Thanks, man.
No, you're doing great.
Thank you, Corey.
I have two items, if that's okay.
Except to Alec.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll allow it. This once.
Number one. And I was told this a long time ago because I think the Big Green Egg is a cheat code. Like the Big Green Egg, you get that thing set just right. It can smoke for a long time. Mm. You're all good to go. The temperature kind of stays where it is. But somebody told me I wasn't cheating well enough or good enough. And they said...
it was still about cooking.
Yes.
Okay.
It was about cooking still. And they said, have you got the fan for it? And I was like, yeah, 105.3 the fan. They're like, no, the little fan. And I said, what do you mean? There's this little fan that you attach to the bottom of the green egg, and that's where the air comes into the green egg, and then it goes out the top. Mm-hmm. Well, this little fan has a box that connects to it that is also Wi-Fi capable. So anywhere on Earth, I can know what the temperature of my big green egg is.
Mm.
And if it starts to go low, the fan will just blow a little air across the coals and it heats back up. And so I don't have to worry about it smoked for 36 hours.
That's a lot of hours.
I had that thing just.
I knew
some
people like that in high school.
And yeah, me too.
So that one right there, I love that capability whenever, because as we were discussing Friday, Alec, that's my happy place when I'm in the backyard cooking. The other one, garage door opener. Garage door opener is clutch because I enter through the rear door all the time. That is where we don't park in the front of the house. We all park in the behind part of the house and we enter the house through the door and the garage. And that's how, this is my whole community. It looks like the whole community in Plano is rear door entry people. And so that is where that's how we get into our house. I love the garage door opener, but even more than my little the little box.
Tolbert Garage.
Oh yeah. Tolbert Garage, by the way, did hook up mine. That's what they did. Even more than that little box that you push it's the one that's connected to your car. If you have the ability to push the button in your car, that's even cooler. So there you go.
I will say my beautiful new car that I got a couple weeks ago, it has an app and I can turn on the car from the app.
Dope.
And I can see how much gas I have in the tank. I can see what my fuel range is.
I
can see what the oil that's life cool. is at. I'm like, I don't have to actually check anything on the dash anymore. This is wonderful.
That's one of the other really cool advancements in technology is the reverse camera on cars.
Yes. Oh, huge. It saved my life. Yes.
Huge.
Has that spoiled you though?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. 1,000%.
Sometimes, sometimes like I'll go into Target and come out and I'm like, boom, just start looking don't even look around. So that sometimes it does catch me off a little bit there because that would be a bad situation.
I feel like sometimes I almost take the boomer approach of I don't trust the camera sometimes.
That's how Adrian is.
I still especially when it's a really packed parking lot. Like let's say going to the American Airlines Center and there's just a million cars everywhere and you can't find an open space with an open space next to it. Sometimes I'll whip the head around, put the arm on the passenger seat. Like, nope. I am trusting the eyes more than I trust the sensors on this car.
Yes.
I don't know why I do that sometimes, but I still do that. But most of the times, especially I back into the driveway at the house, and it's that's perfect because my dad drives an SUV too, so I don't want to get right on that center line because he's going to hurt my car. Mm-hmm. That's not nice. So I got to make sure I get with a perfect line into that parking space, and that's where the camera helps because it gives you the little guidelines.
Camera's great, man.
Cameras are
so
cool.
So nice to have that camera there.
Cameras are awesome.
Adrian's car has too much technology, though.
Well, how's that?
She has sensors everywhere on the car, and there is a part. I have to turn this off when I get in her car. It will, if I try to change lanes without using my blinker, it'll push me back into my lane.
The lane keep assist.
And I don't like that at all.
Yeah, I have that in my car too, but it's off by default. I have to turn it on if I want to use it, which is nice. But I think I tried it out for the first time, might have been New Year's Eve. I was on the highway. I was like, I've never driven a car that has this. I want to try it. So I was like, nobody's around. I'm going to try to move. And it veers you back. It's like, nope, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. I'm not a fan of it because I'm not used to driving that way. I'm just nuts.
Sure.
And I drive, I give myself a lot of space, Kevin, when I'm driving by going fast. And that's how I give myself space. And I'm like, I don't need to use a blinker because I'm far enough away from all the other cars right now.
I don't like the idea that my car can overrule me.
Exactly.
I mean, it weighs 10 times what you do. So I think that's kind of fair.
Still,
it's a big machine.
Doesn't have a brain like me.
Well, I mean, it's got a computer.
Car.
It's got a computer. Computers are smarter than me. I can't speak for you, Corey, but.
Hold on. So would you rather drive in the car with Corey or in a self-driving car?
I haven't driven with Corey yet, so I can't really answer that question fairly. Fun. What's that definition?
We get there safe every time.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, that's what I say.
Right? We do. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Carter's driven in the car with me before. He knows. Oh, that was in the truck, though. I'm a little different in the truck. I drive a little slower.
Huh.
Gas mileage and you know, it's just a bigger vehicle anyway.
Yeah, so. Yeah, sure, sure. From the 817, they say their GPS is their favorite piece of technology. I fully agree. Yeah. Even though I know how to get places without a GPS, I do it just to find the quickest route.
Man.
Like, I just want to get there in a very efficient manner. So I map my way to work every single morning, even though I know the four or five different ways I can get here. Like, I just want to know what's quickest at that time. And I want the on-the-fly changes. So totally agree with that. Lots of people saying some household stuff, like the smart TV came up from the 817, my dishwasher from the 210. Some stuff that we just take for granted, like the dishwasher, especially during the holiday season. You see how many plates you go through and bowls and stuff, and you're like, I'm glad I don't have to hand wash all of this. This is great. From the 817, my Apple TV. I advanced to that a couple years ago from the Roku. I love the Apple TV.
Smart TVs are dope. Like, it is That's cool to have a smart TV. Like, yeah. I know DirecTV is still a great old-fashioned approach to it and everything, and they've been pretty good with their standard. But it is really cool to have the ability to have a smart TV and just hook up to your Wi-Fi and be like, all right, I'm ready to rock now.
See, my favorite part of the college football playoff is the random contract agreements that teams have with the different conferences and the bowl games for payouts on these things. So the Oregon Ducks season came to an end after that big blowout loss to their Big Ten rival, Ohio State. The loss was extremely lucrative for a pair of programs on the West Coast, Oregon State and Washington State. The lone remaining members of the Pac-12 were paid handsomely after the fact. Due to the Rose Bowl's contractual ties with the league, the Beavers and the Cougars got massive paychecks of $50 million each.
Wow.
So Oregon State gets to laugh at Oregon getting blown out, and they get paid $50, or $50 million rather, to watch that happen. $50 would still be cool, but you know. $50 is $50 to me, so I'd take it. But they get paid $50 million to make that happen there in the Rose Bowl. So that's fun that a, you know, rivalry in state is just like, ha, you got blown out and we got paid for it. You didn't. And then one more thing, Corey, if you remember on Friday, we ran that sound of Charles Barkley clapping back at JJ Redick.
Yeah, he did.
Where he just went in and said, you know, you can put as much makeup on that pig as you want. It's still ugly. Talking about the Lakers, he said, you're a dead man walking because every good coach gets fired over there. And JJ Redick was asked if he had a response to that.
I didn't make it all the way through the clip. I got to be honest with you. My resting heart rate is probably 64. I watched the clip. It was 64. Literally don't care. I have other thoughts, but don't care.
I literally don't care. That was kind of a banger of a line, too, saying, when I started the video, my heart rate was at 64. When I finished the video, 64.
that is impressive.
Such a great, this is how you know he's got that media seasoning, he's got that podcast background, because he's got so many good one-liners to reply to these reporters. It's like, stop being so good. Like, I just enjoy his like pressers more than, just like Dan Campbell, his way of coaching football irritates me sometimes, but his pressers make everything worth it.
And if he was on any other team,
you'd root for him.
You wouldn't know, you would never hear him.
That's true.
At all.
Where he is why he gets the that kind of audio.
So there you go. That's my time.
Thank you very much, Alec. Good job right there, good sir. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block, starring me, next on The Fan.